Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today on Voices is Mr. Ron Usner. Ron is a member of the Slidell Ministers Association and a chaplain with the St. Tammany Parish Coroner's Office. Welcome, Ron. Hope you enjoy his testimony.
I want to tell just a quick story before Ron gets up and tells his own story. Ron can attest firsthand to the miracle-working power of God. Ron was in my house many years ago. I don't even know how many years ago it was. It was a while, and we used to have a Bible study in my home. Now, don't let this story scare you, because it's a true story, but don't let it scare you. I had a pretty good-sized living room, and I had two sofas, as many of you do in your homes, that face each other. And, like, there was a sofa there, here, and where this mirror is a fireplace, and that's where I had a chair where I normally sat. And we had chairs behind the sofas for people, and then they were out, the entrance to the room was that direction, opposite the fireplace. And people would just come in, and we'd have 30, 40 people in that room. Well, a gentleman showed up that I didn't know, and he came in late, and he sat about where Denise is on a chair. He had a cane, and he had a big old cowboy hat on, and he kind of sat down, put his head on the cane, kind of bent over, and was making these terrible noises. I mean, just terrible noises. And I was trying to teach a Bible study. He came in late, so I was in the middle of it. And I tried to ignore him, but it just got to the point where I just couldn't ignore him. So I stood up and started to walk towards him. I said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I take authority over whatever's going on here." When I said that, this guy exploded out of the chair. He was a big guy. You make these two guys look little. I mean, he was at least 10 foot tall. Yeah, he was big. And when he came out of the chair, Ron was sitting at the end of the sofa nearest to where he was, right on the end. This guy turned around, picked up a metal chair. You know, when the church buys metal chairs, they're good because they have to take a lot of weight for a long time. So a big, heavy-duty metal chair, he picked it up, and he decided that Ron was going to be his target. He took that chair and swung it. Now, Ron is trying to climb over the back of the sofa. I mean, this is all happening in an instant. And so he's trying to get over the back of the sofa to safety. The guy hits Ron with the chair. Wait, before that happened, let me tell you, he swung that cane over the heads of the people that were sitting on the sofa. How it didn't hit anyone is a miracle. It hit my sliding glass door, and it was like it just kind of floated down. Didn't touch a person. Hit Ron with the chair. Ron goes over the back of the sofa. A bunch of guys decided to tackle this guy, get him on the floor. We finally got him subdued, and there's more to the story I don't have time for. Police actually ended up showing up. He was escorted out of the house, and he actually came to the Lord several days later. That's another part of the story. But here's the miracle part of the story. Ron got hit with that chair so hard that it bent the frame on a metal chair. There wasn't a mark on this man. Not a mark, not a bump, not a bruise that took place. That was a miracle. I mean, he should have been hurt really bad. This guy was big enough to hurt him without a chair, and when he swung that chair on him, and we don't have the chair anymore, but we kept it for a while. It had a big old kind of a 90-degree bend in the frame where it hit Ron. So that's Ron. He's a man of miracles. With that said, Ron, come up here and share your testimony with us. All right. Let's give him a good welcome.
Thank you, Morris. And thank you, folks, for that welcome. And if I could, Morris and I remember this a little bit differently. I was sitting this close to the man, and he and his wife were on the folding chairs, those metal kind of. He was making noises. Every time Morris would say the name Jesus, this guy would go, look like in the werewolf movies when they start to turn, you know. And, I mean, I got chills. It's going up my spine looking at this guy. And finally, when Morris commanded to come out of him, and he rose up, and the reason that chair had a 90-degree bend is because I did this, and it hit both my arms. And yet, afterwards, somebody came up and said, "How are you?" I said, "I'm fine." "Why?" "So, how are your arms?" I said, "They're fine." "Why?" Not a bruise, not a sore spot, not a broken bone. I didn't even remember. I remember throwing my arms up, and he hit me with that metal chair and did not do any damage. It was amazing. And as I remember, he threw his cane straight up into the ceiling fan, but it didn't hit the ceiling fan. And he took the chair after he hit me with it and sailed it like a frisbee right at all the people. And it sailed across the room, and it got right by the sliding glass doors, and it just sort of fell to the ground without breaking the doors or doing anything. It was a very interesting night. They didn't offer it in those days, but it would have been a motivation for sure. But anyway, that's how I know Morris. I've known Pat, Bruce, and several other people for many years because I was about 9 years old when my folks moved to Slidell from New Orleans. Grew up over here when it was Podunk, and I mean, I loved it. Went to fifth grade, started at fifth grade. And I got to ride a school bus for the first time in my life. Kids from Pearl River were coming to school barefooted, and I thought that was so cool. My folks wouldn't let me do it, but I said, come on, I don't want to wear shoes. They don't wear shoes to school. It was just a whole new cultural experience, and I really enjoyed growing up in Slidell. Went to Slidell Grammar, Slidell Junior High, Slidell High School, graduated in 63. When we were in New Orleans, attended Catholic school, Catholic church, and then we moved over here. We sort of drifted away, and that was fine with me because that meant I got 2 days to play on the weekend, not just one. And, you know, I got into hunting and fishing and all the things that country kids do, and one of my uncles bought me an old nag horse, but it was a horse. It wasn't anything fancy, but I got to ride all over the place. You know, we had woods and trees out by our little fixer-upper that my folks bought, and I just loved it. But I never had any kind of training. I do remember when I was in junior high, I got a Gideon Pocket Bible, Psalms and New Testament. And I'd flip through it from time to time, and I'd read things in it, and some of the things I saw were kind of interesting, but it just didn't register with me. It didn't, you know, really grab me. And I continued on living my life. Got out of college with a degree in sociology and met this lady whom I call my wife. And that was in 1969. So next year be 50th anniversary, for which I'm very thankful. And like somebody I heard one time said, but don't blame me. It's not my fault. We had two kids. We've been blessed with them. I was, most of my young life, I was doing my dead level best to be bad. Not mean bad, not joining gangs, not fighting with knives and crazy stuff. I just wanted to break the rules. I just wanted to see what was out there. You know, drinking and everything. I got into playing music, playing drums, got in rock and roll bands, and just having a great time. And continued doing that all the way through college. And got married and decided I didn't like working for a living. I wanted to go back to school and get an advanced degree. So, bless her heart, Marion said, let's go. And we went back up to Hammond, and I re-enrolled in Southeastern and took a postgraduate course and then went into graduate school and got a master's degree in history. And I was going to teach. Would have been a great opportunity to corrupt more young people. But they didn't, because I didn't have an education degree, I couldn't work in the public schools and the Catholic schools and the private schools, and I did wind up teaching in two of those, paid so much less than the public school. It just wasn't economically feasible. So I got out of it and looking for a job, wound up working in a savings and loan association. I didn't know anything about that, what that was, but sounded like a finance company, sounded like a bank, something or other. Did that for a few years, but took advantage of some opportunities and moved into mortgage lending. Now, along the way, I encountered people who tried to talk to me about the Lord, but I just always blew it off because, after all, I'm a man of letters. I have a BA and an MA. I'm intellectual. I know these things. Don't talk to me about your foolish religion. That was not in the plan for me. I still remember a job I had right after getting married before I went back to school. A lady in the building where I worked, I don't know how in the world we got to talking about stuff, but she tried witnessing to me one time. And I blew her off and tried to engage her in a way to belittle her and everything, which was typically what I like to do. And she gave me a Bible. And she said something about the Bible. I said, I don't even have one. She said, well, I'll give you one. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Well, she did. You know, these little inexpensive award Bibles. King James Version, no notes, no footnotes, no study guides, just the Bible. And she gave me this little book. It was probably about 1969. And I had that thing until Katrina flooded our office in New Orleans. And I tried reading it, and it didn't work too well for me. It contradicted everything I thought I believed about evolution and all these other things. Then a few years went by. We had a couple of kids. I had a lady working with me in a two-person office in Metairie. She was a nice, sweet little girl from Tennessee. Name was Heidi. She was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and very chipper and friendly. And I used to make fun of people like that because I was kind of, I liked Don Rickles. Don Rickles was my hero. I'd walk around. And one day I sneezed in the office and she said, "God bless you." And I said, "Ah, there's no chance of that." And she said, "Oh, yes, he loves you. Don't you? He sent his son to die for you." And I said, "Oh, Heidi, for crying out loud, don't talk to me about all this." Well, she persisted. She talked to me about it. Not pushy, just wanted to present it. And I said, "Aha, another opportunity to show off my superior intellect to this poor high school educated bumpkin from Tennessee." So I was gonna get her. Boy, I was going to really, you know, I'd throw these things out, you know, and then she'd had an answer. A lot of times she'd take her Bible that she kept in her drawer and look things up for me. If she didn't know the answer, she'd call her pastor, who happened to be Pastor John Driscoll. If some of you have been around a long time, might remember Crescent City Baptist Church that was in Mid-City, New Orleans, and moved out to Metairie. And that was where she attended. And she'd call up Pastor Driscoll, and he'd give her the answer. So I'm getting stymied here with all this stuff, and I'm starting to get more and more and more intrigued. Somewhere I got a hold of a book. Heidi may have given it to me. It was called How to Be Born Again by Billy Graham. And I was reading that. I would do most of my reading still to this day in the bathroom, so I get away from everybody and have a little privacy. And I was reading my book, reading that little book in the bathroom. I had been reading it for a week or two. And it's like all of a sudden it all hit me at once. I came out and I was sitting on my bed and I said, "You know, God," I said, "I don't know 100% sure that you even exist. I said, but if you do, and if any of this stuff is right, I know I'm in serious trouble. And I need a Savior, and I would like to receive that at this time." I felt this assurance, this peace, this calm has come upon me, which I'm sure most of all of you have experienced. And so there I was. I was hooked. Now what? What do you do now? Well, another coincidence. This was during the early 80s, and some of you who are old like me might remember that the economy in the United States was pretty much in the tank. Interest rates were ridiculous. Home mortgages were going for 18%. Nobody could buy a house. President Jimmy Carter, in his wisdom, announced that we were going to have a bank holiday. Everybody was going to stop lending. So Home Office called us and said, "Stop taking applications." I said, "Well, what do we do?" He said, "Answer the phone. Tell people you'll get back to them later." Well, drug on and on and on. Perfect opportunity for Heidi and I to discuss the Bible, to read books, to help me to continue to segue and ease my way into reading and understanding the Scriptures. Also, I commuted from New Orleans to Metairie in a company car, and I've early on discovered two stations on the AM dial, 600 and 800 AM, which, to my knowledge, are still on to this day. And the station with my car was always locked on one of those two. And I grew immensely. I guess you could say I sat under the ministry of people like Kenneth Copeland and the Christian Jew Hour, which I'd greatly enjoyed. Lester Sumrall, who is actually, his organization, LaSia, is the one that put this trip together that our brothers Ray and them are on right now in Israel. So I got to learn all these things from all these wonderful Bible teachers. And also in my position there, I had to drive around and inspect and appraise houses we made loans on. Always in the car, always getting fed this stuff. Just loved every minute of it. Really grew, really had a lot of opportunities, and never did settle on a church. Morris Pat's house was my church. Some of you here may remember Dudley Smith. I don't remember if I actually went to see Dudley for something specific about business, or if I bumped into someone who told me, and I told him I'm a Christian, and they said, "Oh, so's Dudley. You ought to go see him." Anyway, I went to see Dudley. He told me about Morris' study. I went over there, was fully welcomed and embraced by a man who didn't know me from anybody. You know, reacquainted with Patsy, of course. Got into the Friday night Bible thing, and that just became my church. And on Sunday, my family and I would go to another church, but we didn't really, it wasn't that big of a deal. Sometimes we'd go, sometimes we wouldn't. For many years, we would visit other churches, and for a long time, all we did was sit around our kitchen table on Sunday morning, and I would have a Bible study. I'd heard something on the radio, and I'm riding in my car, and I'm writing down the scriptures and everything. And so I get home, and I look them all up, and I put it together, and we were doing a family kind of Bible study and learning thing. That's how it went along until probably about, I don't know how long, it was about 15 years or so ago, we went to the Harvest, which became Journey, and we've been pretty steady over there ever since. Still occasionally visit other churches because I think it's a good thing to do. The most, to me, you know, Morris, we talk about all these coincidences. The most interesting part of my story to me is how I came to be baptized. One day, Heidi took a day off. I'm sitting in the office alone. Phone rings. I answer it. Somebody asks for Heidi. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. She's off today, but I'm Ron Usner, and I'm the manager. What can I help you with? And the voice says, oh, it's nothing. He said, but I said, Ron, this is Brother Driscoll. I'm her pastor. And I said, oh, hi, man, nice to talk to you. I said, you don't know me, but you were instrumental in me coming to the Lord. And so we struck up a conversation. You know, we're going along, and he said, well, that's really interesting. And he says, tell me, have you been baptized? And I said, yeah, when I was a kid, you know. And he said, no, you need to be baptized again as a believer. Once again, this compulsion came over me. He said, I'll be happy to baptize you anytime you want to. And I said, how about now? And he says, it just so happens that we did baptisms yesterday and the fountain is still full, sitting up here. So when can you come? I said, how about now? And he said, come on. And so we had two phone lines. I put them, called myself on the other line, put them both on hold. That's how we did things when we left the office. So people wouldn't think we were out of business. They'd just get the busy signal. Ran on over there. Got baptized. Just he and I alone in the sanctuary. And then he told me the most interesting, to me, one of the more interesting aspects of what happened. He said, you know, when I got to work this morning, there was this little yellow sticky note on the floor. I reached down and picked it up, and it had your office phone number on it. And I stuck it on my desk. I went about my business, and I'm moving stuff around. And a little while later, it's on the floor again. And he said, I picked it up and put it back on the desk. And I'm continuing to work, and I'm trying to remember who that number is for. Third time, it's on the floor again. Let every fact be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Yeah. Then he remembered. He said, I think this is Heidi's number. I guess maybe I need to call Heidi. And it wasn't Heidi he was calling. It was me. Every time I tell that, I get choked up. It was just a very blessed and wonderful time in my life. Somebody said, well, when did you get saved? And I said, well, as far as I can recollect, it was around February of 1980. Somebody said, if you don't know the exact date and time, then you're not saved. I read a book recently called Unity with Christ. The author had a very interesting quote in it. I wish I could remember who he was quoting. It was some yesteryear evangelical theologian type person from maybe the 19th century. Someone had said, when were you saved? And he said, oh, that's so beautiful. I've got to tell you, on a hill outside Jerusalem, almost 2,000 years ago. I like that. So for those of you who know me well, I'm not probably quite as churchified as a lot of you are, and maybe as I should be, but that's because I hadn't spent that much time in a church until recently. So if I seem a little rough around the edges, that's just me. The reason I'm here is because of the chaplain program. I get to do this work that's very moving, and often I almost always feel inadequate when I go out. It's overwhelming what these people are going through. And it's almost always something that's not nice. A suicide, particularly of a teenager or someone, it's heartrending. But it's also feels good to be able to make some small contribution, I guess. That's how I'm a member of the Ministers Association. It's all because of this guy right here. Oh, and one other thing, another coincidence. Working in New Orleans and everything, I had gotten way away from the Friday night Bible study and the Wednesday Warriors. And because at one time we met at noon, and I was working in Slidell, and that's when I met Bob. Morris brought him over to introduce him to the group because he was just embarking on the Albanian mission. He was looking for underwriters, so I got to meet Bob then. I got away from him. I hadn't seen anybody in all this time. Dudley, as you recall, was killed in an automobile accident just about, 9 years ago or so? And it was at his funeral that I reacquainted with Morris and Bob, and I believe Bruce and a couple of other guys that I had known all these years and had been involved with. So Dudley brought us together twice.
Amen.
I think that's my story. I can't recall anything else that would be interesting, so, because I'm not that interesting. But
thank you.
Thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. If you have comments about today's programming, something that you heard that was of interest to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.